session number 24198, wheel 11.
This is the sixth wheel I take to view with Jim Boyd in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 18th of the 10th, 2002, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. We talked a little bit about you, Nay, and you mentioned earlier on leaving to go to Udine. Can you describe the camp to us? I understand that it was a very large camp.
Was very large. All nationalities there, Russians, Poles.
I understand the Russians were treated fairly poorly.
Yes. In my opinion, they looked for it.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the things I don't know, I wouldn't have thought about doing.
Can you give us an idea of the sorts of things that...
Refusing to, or wanting to fight sentries and things like that. You can't take a risk with buggers like that. They'll shoot you as quick as buggery. Breaking into their Russian store. I saw a Russian break in there one day, and the sentry waved him to get out of the, come away from the place. But no, he was determined to continue to go in there, and the German sentry dropped him in about 3 seconds with his rifle. Just threw their life away kind of thing. No.
In relation to Udine and the situation, you mentioned that you didn't do any work in Udine, as you recall.
No.
How did you then pass the time? Would you say?
Just moping, I'd call it. I think most of us dropped our bundle in Udine. Too many men in the one camp. All nationalities, nothing to do. We kept to our own positions, more or less.
You mentioned dropping your bundle. How did that show in the average bloke in prison camp?
Got very morbid, in a morbid condition. Didn't want to talk. Few of us thought the best thing to do was just have a walk up and down the wire fence in different places to get a bit of exercise. Other than that, just no outlook on anything.
Presumably, word from home.
Never, ever got anything from home. No letters, no mail, no rumours, no news, no nothing.
What are food parcels?
We didn't have any food parcels there. We didn't start them until we got to Bruck. Canadian parcels, New Zealand parcels, English parcels. The Canadian parcels were the best, I thought.
All right, well, we can talk about those a bit later. What were you doing for, what was your food then like in Udine?
Just the boiled rice, gruel, that's about all, one feed of that a day. No benefit in it, as far as meal goes. You'd eat it down and feel hungry 5 minutes after.
In relation to the situation of being a prisoner of war, I understand that, you know, one of the jobs that a prisoner of war had to do was to frustrate the enemy as much as possible. People talk of escape as one way of sort of diverting enemy soldiers in
from other duties.
What of other methods of frustrating Germans, or at this point, your guards in Udine?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we had anything until we got to Bruck. Nothing like that in Udine. I don't remember anyone ever escaping from Udine.
You mentioned, we spoke a little bit about the Commandant, Colonel Calcaterra. You called him
Piccolo Pete,
that's right, yes. Mm-hmm. What of some of the other guards in that camp and how they may have treated you there?
Never used to bother us. They were on the outside of the fence, and we're on the inside, all barbed wire. And a tripwire inside the fence that you'd be shot if you stepped over that towards the main fence, so you knew you had to stay away from that.
You mentioned you'd seen a Russian being shot.
Mm.
Had you experienced any of your own comrades being punished in a similar way, or?
No.
What other punishments were meted out in relation to misdemeanors in Udine?
In Udine, only jail. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
What did that mean, generally, being put in jail?
Well, if you were put in jail, you just stopped behind the cells, bars, and got no extra food or anything.
Were you ever to experience a period of being in the boob, as it were?
No. If a sentry told me to get back from the fence, well, I got back from the bloody fence.
Keeping up morale, as you mentioned, walking around the perimeter of the camp, were you able to organise any other forms of exercise at all?
No. We used to find that was just enough, especially around what we'd call tea time, 6 o'clock at night or something like that. Not that we had tea, but just go for a walk around the perimeter and have a bit of a yarn, different blokes. Keep our energy up.
You mentioned earlier on that when the Italians had surrendered 43, that the Germans had basically taken you. Do you recall the Germans coming and taking over?
No, it just seemed to be a one day there was a Italian guards on the outside of the fence, and the next day there were German guards on the outside of the fence.
So as far as you're aware, there were no escape committees that you recall at Oudenay?
No, not at Oudenay.
In relation to moving further on from Oudenay, there are a couple of dates. 25th of April, 43, it's mentioned that a number of men left Oudenay. Regardless of when that was for you, where were you to go next?
Well, if it was us, we went to Bruck.
Can you describe to us the journey?
No.
What was it like then to arrive at Bruck? What do you recall of Bruck?
Just a small railway station and nothing else kind of thing.
Did you know what they were doing in Bruck?
No.
I understand that there was an English, well, a labour camp anyway, one of the many national camps that served, was making tree gas, petrol from coal, I understand. Were you involved in that at all?
No. We must have... We weren't in Bruck that long. We went to Kaffenberg, Graz.
And what was that like?
Graz was a good camp.
What made Graz a good camp?
The guards seemed to be more friendlier. Work wasn't so hard. We'd be, if you had got a good job out of it, you'd be still down there 11 hours a day, but you wouldn't do more than about a dozen shovelfuls of dirt, I suppose, if you were digging something.
What were some of the main jobs that you were doing there?
The biggest job was on the cement mixer. I lasted on that for a fair while, I forget how long. 11 hours a day.
Do you know what you were involved in doing, in building?
Yes, we had dug the foundations out ourselves with the boarded up kind of thing to stop them from falling in, and then they started pouring the cement in to make the foundations for the building. It was a hard job.
Do you know what the building was to be?
No, we just heard it was going to be something electrical business. I don't know what it ever finished up at.
What would you say was the hardest camp that you were to experience in your POW days?
Oh, you didn't. Udenay. I don't know whether they pronounce it Udenay or Udini. Everyone had different pronunciations of it.
And what made it worse than other camps?
Piccolo Pete to start with. You couldn't look him in the eye. That was worth a couple of days in jail if he didn't like the look of you. He ran a roster on the jail. It was always full. It's soon as someone had finished their time, they were taken out, and the next one was crossed off the list, and he went in to do his time.
You mentioned that a bit earlier. In relation to your condition, your health, how was that holding up?
Not bad, I suppose, considering, but my nerves were very bad. Feeling of lostness, fed up with things, but couldn't do much about it.
Were you able to hear much of what was going on? I mean, people talk of having radios in the camps and that sort of thing.
Yeah, they did.
What were some of the more positive things that you were to hear that would help you keep your morale up?
We'd hear about the bombing raids, 1,000 bombing raids that were going on. By that time we hadn't seen any of them down our way, the inner Bruck way. And they didn't come down there till later on in time. It's a great thing to see, 1,000 bomber raid. 500 planes generally each side, like a pincer movement. And fighter aircraft protecting them. You could see them with their exhaust fumes flying in and out of them, protecting the bombers. 500 in the batch that side and 500 that side, and we finished up about 80 kilos, I think it was, kilos from Vienna. And the night they bombed Vienna we could hear the thump, thump, thump in the distance, these bombs, and we more or less said, good on you, keep giving it to them, give them some more. And that's the way it got, I suppose. You're fed up with the bloody enemy, whether they're Italians, Germans, or anything.
In relation to your condition, what of things like clothing? Had you been able to get decent clothing?
Oh, no. We had, the only clothes that were given to us were, I'd say, from foreign countries. When I say from foreign countries, countries that had been already taken over by Germans. We would have their military uniforms, a lot of them. Some of their blokes looked like commanders of bloody army with the uniforms that they wore. That was the only clothing we ever got off them.
So the winter would have been an uncomfortable period for you.
Yes.
How did you cope? How did you get through the dead of winter?
In Kaffenberg and Graz, we were able to get, they had plenty of pine forests there that they were cutting timber, and we were able to get scraps of timber and build a fire and try and keep that as near as we could where we were working. It was freezing weather in parts, very cold.
What was the toughest camp in relation to winter conditions, would you say?
very cold in the even when you went to bed at night, you only had the one blanket. So you still woke up through the night cold, you couldn't do anything about it. They did have a fire each end, big cast iron fireplaces, but they weren't enough to keep the place warm.
You mentioned the bombing raid that you were to see or to hear. I understand you could hear the planes coming from quite a distance.
I pick up the vapour trail that they were leaving out of the exhaust pipes was the first thing you noticed. They were that high. You'd see German aircraft leaving the ground, going up to have a go at them, but sometimes they seem to be even too high for the German fighter aircraft to reach.
People talk of Dresden, the bombing of Dresden.
No, we weren't near there. We're very much south of Vienna.
Mm. In relation to the war going the Allies' way, you could obviously get the impression that was happening with the bombing raids.
Mm.
But were you to hear any news on those radios that obviously you wouldn't have been allowed to have, but were you able to hear any news that bucked you up?
Oh, yes, we... the secret radios, they were picking up the English news, 7 o'clock, around 7 o'clock at night.
You mentioned hearing that. What were some of the more positive things that you were to hear, other than the bombing raids? Did you hear, for instance, in 44 of the Normandy landings?
No.
I'm interested to know whether, in relation to the way the war was going for the Allies, whether the guards treated you any more leniently, possibly, as a result of the situation.
No, it didn't seem to happen. They never used to talk about the British action much.
You mentioned that you were to get parcels, Red Cross parcels, in places like Bruck.
Mm.
And you mentioned that the Canadians' parcels were the best. Why do you think that was the case?
Well, they had a better variety in them. Jam, butter, cheese, good wholesome food. The English parcels weren't the best, but as far as we knew, the English parcels were more or less paid for by Australian donations. It was, instead of Australia making parcels, they were handing the money on to England, and they were making the English parcel. But porridge and stuff like that, we just didn't seem to mix with the Canadian parcels. Quarter of a pound block of chocolate in a Canadian parcel. Very, very good.
Presume as a result that the bartering system would have picked up. You'd have things to trade.
Mm. Yeah, you could barter a lot with food out of a parcel, butter, jam, cheese, anything like that.
I understand that cigarettes and chocolate were pretty high currency.
Chocolate were, I'd say, not that I ever got down there much myself, but apparently we were at Bruck, Gratz, the brothels were pretty handy, and some of the boys had made their way down there, because working there with clothing that they'd given to us, kind of thing. I think the guards used to close their eyes to a few of them slipping away for a while, and Blake was telling me that for half a block of chocolate you could have about an hour at the bloody shielder if you wanted to. I thought, well, I think I'd rather have the half block of chocolate myself. Yeah. But no, it, white bread was the main thing. Black bread wasn't much nourishment in it. We didn't think the white bread was all right, but most of bartering was for white bread. A bar of chocolate, a full bar of chocolate, you could get 3 loaves of white bread for that, as long as you picked the right blokes to get.
You mentioned blokes slipping away. As the war progressed, was it possible to think of escape?
Oh, yes. Yes. We heard of blokes that had got to Italy. You see their names mentioned on radio news, but we were too far south to worry about trying to get to Switzerland. We have no chance. But some of our blokes was nothing for them to get out and be away about a fortnight, and you'd see them back again into the sling, being picked up. But in that time they might not have got even 5 or 6 miles from the camp.
Did you reconsider escaping later on at all?
I thought it was a useless waste of time. There was nothing around to help you. Some, they reckon, I don't know, finished up getting into people's places that were happy to help them, hide them, kind of thing, a bit of extra food and stuff, but I never struck anything like that myself.
In relation to, obviously, the war winding down for the, well, for the Germans, and certainly picking up in positive terms for the Allies, what was the thing that you heard that really clinched it, do you think?
Can't recall much of
it. Had it come as a surprise, for instance, when?
Well, we knew that the British were doing well. The main ones that we'd hear on the news would be that the Russians had broken through in the north and they were running amok in Austria and then places, Germany. And we were glad to hear that.
people talk of being a bit concerned that they might be relieved by the Russians before the Allies could get to them.
Yeah, we didn't think that way, but they did. A lot of them that we met did think, because, as I say, we were too far south in Germany to think of escape or anything, too far to travel to what we'd call a safe country if there was one.
Mm.